Press TV headlines, Pakistani diplomats and European intelligence officials say the U.S. terror alert is politically motivated. Also ahead, Pakistan refuses to open a key NATO supply route to Afghanistan despite a U.S. apology. And dead fish float in the Danube after toxic sludge in Hungary reaches Europe's second longest river.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, Pakistani diplomats and European intelligence officials have cast doubt on the origin and credibility of a recent U.S. terror alert. Pakistan's High Commissioner to Britain has told the Guardian newspaper that the U.S. travel alert to Americans visiting Europe was intended to justify non-UN sanctioned drone attacks inside Pakistan. Wajid Shamsul Hassan has accused U.S. President Barack Obama of playing politics with the terror threat prior to the U.S. midterm elections next month. Meanwhile, a high European intelligence official has told the paper that the alert was, quote, nonsensical. The remarks come a week after U.S. media extensively covered the U.S. State Department's travel alert for Europe, even naming specific targets in Berlin and Paris. Pakistani analysts say the public is not buying such alerts.
But the entire mood in Pakistani policy circles and military and, of course, in general public is extremely on the negative side. People are not buying what the government of the United States is saying through its spokespersons.
Pakistan says it will not reopen NATO's key supply route to Afghanistan despite U.S. apology for recent deadly cross-border incursion. Now, this comes as gunmen continue attacks on NATO supply convoys. In the latest attack, 55 trucks were torched. Our correspondent in Peshawar, Zahid Hussain, has more.
Thousands of oil tankers and other supply vehicles are waiting for the Torkham crossing in northwestern Pakistan to reopen, as attacks on convoys have soared in recent days. NATO insists its war effort in Afghanistan has not been impeded by the blockade of supply route, but says it expects the border dispute to be resolved soon.
Our authorities are evaluating the security situation, and a decision with regard to reopening the supply route will be taken in due course.
Pakistan's foreign ministry said the security situation was being reviewed and a decision to reopen the route would be made in due course. The border was closed apparently in protest at the violation of Pakistani airspace on September 30th by NATO helicopters that left three Pakistani paramilitary troops dead at a checkpoint near Pak-Afghan border. NATO now says it regrets the incident, and the U.S. ambassador in Islamabad has apologized for the deaths of three Pakistani soldiers in the helicopter strike. But the NATO attacks have stirred emotions in the country, with both the government and the public reacting angrily to such incidents.
While we were heading towards Torkham borders, we were attacked on this road by some unknown gunmen who then torched our tankers. The problem is we are the ones who are suffering. We are being targeted. We are going through lots of problems because of the American attacks on Pakistan.
Besides, the United States has massively surged its drone attacks in Pakistan's northwest tribal region on the Afghan border, which it believes a safe haven for the pro-Taliban militants. Since September 3, the U.S. has carried out over two dozen drone strikes in the region, in which more than 150 people have lost their lives.
We do have strong differences with the U.S. on these attacks as well.
Pakistan's foreign ministry spokesman Abdul Basit said the drone attacks are counterproductive and a violation of his country's sovereignty. But some analysts say such strikes are carried out with the tacit approval of Islamabad. To avenge such strikes, the militants have targeted trucks carrying fuel and other supplies to the U.S.-led troops in Afghanistan. And so far, they have torched more than 100 of such vehicles. They have warned that more such attacks should be expected in the coming days.
After the supply route into Afghanistan has been shut down in Pakistan last week, a large number of NATO supply trucks and tankers are stranded in several parts of the country.
where threats of increased attacks on them are growing. Zahid Hussain, Press TV, Peshawar, Noshehra.
A U.S. drone attack on Pakistan's North Waziristan has killed at least four people. Security officials say the drone fired two missiles on a suspected militant compound in the area. The non-UN sanctioned attack comes shortly after Islamabad slammed such strikes as counterproductive and a violation of its sovereignty. Pakistan's foreign ministry says the unauthorized strikes are neither justified nor understandable. Islamabad has called on Washington to reconsider its policy. The U.S. has intensified its drone attacks on Pakistan's tribal areas in recent months. Some 150 people, most of them civilians, have been killed in such strikes in September.
As the U.S. at war in Afghanistan enters its 10th year, the country's President Hamid Karzai has inaugurated a new peace council in a bid to convince the Taliban for peace talks. But the Taliban say they remain determined in their fight against the U.S. led forces. Press TV's Faiz Khorshid has this report.
President Karzai has once again invited the Taliban to end the fight and enter into peace process. This time he has tried to woo the Taliban for peace talks through creation of a peace council. President Karzai hosted the inaugural session of a new peace council on Thursday. This council has been set up to facilitate negotiations between the Taliban and the Afghan government. Karzai says it reflects hopes of a better future for Afghanistan.
This peace council is a source of hope, and the international community is supporting this 70-member panel.
But to analysts, it sounds good only in theory.
I don't think such efforts will make difference because the Taliban are not ready for talks.
Reaching out to the militants is not a new strategy here. The Afghan government has been trying to convince the Taliban leaders to give up their fight against the NATO and Afghan forces since 2005. It has had a reconciliation committee that has largely failed in convincing the Taliban to lay down their weapons. Analysts say Taliban have little reason to negotiate or reconcile on anything. They say they are winning the war. But why is the Taliban winning?
The Taliban is backed by Pakistani Taliban and other militants group in Pakistani territory.
Taliban were ousted from power after the U.S. launched the invasion back in 2001, October 7th. Everyone was confident at that time that the Taliban won't come back. But 9 years on, the American and NATO forces are still fighting. They are still being killed and wounded by the Taliban attacks.
And 2010 has become the deadliest year for foreign troops since this war has begun 9 years ago. Last year, the death toll of NATO forces was 520. This year, it's already over 550. Civilian deaths have also jumped by 31% in the first half of this year compared to the same period last year. And now many here are of the view that if President Obama does not come up with a winning strategy, lives will have been sacrificing in vain, and many more will follow them. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
Well, to discuss this further, we're being joined by Khan Hallinen with Foreign Policy in a Focus. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, sir. Now, the reconciliation process, which is supported by the U.S., has been termed in line with U.S. goals in Afghanistan. Now, where does this put the 9 years of war that have gone by fighting these very groups that the U.S. wants to reconcile with?
Well, I think it was wasted effort, and I think it was wasted effort from the beginning. This was a war that the United States should not have gotten involved in, should not have invaded Afghanistan, and here it is after 9 years, essentially in a position where things are getting worse rather than getting better. And I think this new peace committee is more for public relations than it is a serious attempt to start negotiations. The principles behind the peace committee is that the Taliban lay down their arms. Why should the Taliban lay down their arms? If the Taliban are doing better today than they did even a year ago. If you're going to have a peace negotiation, then you're going to have to treat the people that you're fighting essentially as equals. And equals are not going to basically surrender. And the Karzai government is asking the Taliban to surrender, and they're not going to do that.
Right, but even if we do take this gesture at face value, this attempt towards peace talks is basically no different from what Karzai has been trying to sell for the past 2 years, if not more. Now, the Afghan government says the U.S. drawdown date gives them a unique opportunity for the talks to be successful. Do you think that that's a fair assessment?
I think that the talks will be successful. First of all, there are pretty strong rumors that there are talks going on, back-channel talks going on right now. But the talks are only going to be successful if, one, they include not only the Taliban, but that there be no preconditions. In other words, no talk about laying down your arms, no talk about accepting the Constitution, no talk about integrating into the government. That's just not on the table. That's one thing. Two, it has to involve groups beside the Taliban, and specifically the Haqqani group, where the Pakistanis, of which the Pakistanis are very close to at this point. I think the third thing is that it has to involve Pakistan as a major player here. There isn't going to be any peace in Afghanistan unless Pakistan agrees to it. And if you want to see the power that Pakistan has over the process, all you have to do is look at the Khyber Pass today. Here's, you know, massive amounts of NATO supplies that simply can't move into the country. If those supplies can't move into the country, it's not possible to wage a war in Afghanistan. So I don't want to rain on this parade. I think that the idea of a peace committee is a good one. I just think that at this point, it's really more about public relations than it is about serious negotiations.
Right. Now, do you think that if the Taliban, by and large, do come up with a peace agreement, will this be enough to end the Afghan war, as many are hoping? I would like a short answer on that, please.
I think it would. I think as long as the U.S. and the NATO allies withdraw, I think that there will be difficulties. But I do not see a major war, civil war, beginning. I think Afghans are tired of war, and I think they're done with it. And I think that the possibilities really exist for a serious peace at this point.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Khan Hallinan with a Foreign Policy in Focus, speaking to us from Berkeley. Many thanks for your insight here on Press TV, sir. Well, moving on now, an ecological disaster is threatening the Danube.
Toxic red sludge leaked from an industrial site in Hungary is pouring into Europe's second largest river. Dead fish are already seen floating in the main branch of the Danube. Officials from Croatia, Serbia, and Romania are taking samples from the river every few hours. They hope that the Danube's huge water volume will blunt the impact of the spill. The EU and environmental officials fear a disaster affecting half a dozen nations if the red sludge contaminates the Danube. This as experts are expecting contamination levels to peak over the weekend.
Possible contamination is expected in the next 2 to 3 days. Around Sunday, we could see the peak of the contamination.
The flood of toxic waste was unleashed from an aluminum plant west of the Hungarian capital Budapest on Monday. It has killed several people so far.
Oh, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. Pakistani diplomats and European intelligence officials say the U.S. terror alert is politically motivated. Pakistan refuses to open a key NATO supply route to Afghanistan despite a U.S. apology. And dead fish float in the Danube after toxic sludge in Hungary reaches Europe's second longest river.